Parker and Mass.
Little sport dork orgy. So sporty.
Oh, yeah.
So sporty.
Oh, yeah.
Sports and sports and sports.
Oh, yeah.
Sports in your face. Sports.
Felger and Mass.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hour two, and right back to your phones. Two Red Sox issues. Them trading a roster piece right now to clear room to sign Mookie Betts into the future or Chris Sale into the future or add a bullpen arm. Either way, taking a little step back this year for the big picture. How do you feel about that if they traded a Bradley or a Bogarts or a Porcello so they could do those things? How do you feel about that? And Mookie Betts, out of the leadoff hole on December 11th, announced during the winter meetings while his agent is snarking around the halls in Las Vegas. What's the meaning there? What's the impetus behind there? Does that come from the player and the agent because he wants more RBIs because he's getting closer to free agency? Is that some nerd? Because in the Globe story, they immediately mentioned Zach Scott, the assistant general manager and chief analytics officer, meaning the head nerd.
Is his title actually chief analytics officer?
Chief nerd, I put in that officer.
I've got a badge.
Freeze. And I'm just reading. Cora and assistant general manager Zach Scott, the team's analytics chief. Okay, chief.
I like analytics officer.
Yeah,
better.
Officer, yeah.
Respect my authority.
Paul Blart.
Yeah. Chief. Cora and assistant GM Zach Scott, the team's analytics chief, believe Betts can be even more productive hitting second. So either it comes from the player who wants more RBIs for his impending contract or some nerd, both of which I hate.
The mall cop who they
I've got a
nerd.
Badge. Respect me.
Exactly. Zach Scott setting the lineup. Teddy and Chicopee, go ahead on the lineup.
With them moving Mookie Betts from first to second, Benatari, he doesn't run the bases good. He's not that fast, and he can't go from first to third.
Okay, Teddy, I'm going to cut you off because he is fast, but he runs like an a-hole.
Oh, yeah, no, like his hair's on fire.
He's a terrible base runner.
Yeah, he got better as the year went on this year, but he is. He's an accident waiting to happen. No two ways about it.
He's got plenty of speed. That's not the issue.
Yeah,
he just runs into outs.
No, that's right. He can run first to third, first to home, whatever. He can do all that.
Benny, Terry.
From an athletic standpoint, he can do all that. The question is whether or not he has, like, the acumen on the bases to be able to pull that off.
They're not doing it to put Benintendi up there. Betts wants to be lower to get more RBI.
It's got
to
be what it is.
Or some nerd thinks there's just, I don't know. But, I mean, Jimmy ran the numbers. It's not even close about where Betts' most productive spot in the lineup is. These are career numbers, right, Jimmy?
That is correct.
Career in the leadoff hole. Mookie Betts, career OPS in the leadoff hole, 912.
Pretty good.
His career OPS in the two spot, 790. You're giving away over 120 points in OPS.
Yeah, so doesn't that lead you to believe that it's not a nerd thing?
I mean, fair. No, fair point.
I'm telling you, this has got to be driven by him. He's into being Mookie. The 30-30 thing meant something to him, right? He wanted all of that. So he had 80 RBI this year with 31 homers or whatever the hell it was. I looked it up a second ago. It might have been 33 homers. Whatever. 80 RBI. With that many home runs, that's not enough. So it means you're not getting at bats with men on base. So he sat down with his agent. They said, we're going to go to arbitration with the Red Sox, and we're taking him to a hearing because we're going to ask for $22 million. We're going to double your salary.
But you don't have the RBI.
Right. Or something like that.
Yeah.
And they said, we got to get you out of that.
Betts wants 100 RBI.
Exactly.
So I'm telling you, it's related to that.
And they announced it during the winter meetings, too. Oh, that's such a tell.
I think this is like borderline unprecedented. I can't ever remember a team. Like, when you acquire a new player, you might say, we're going to hit him leadoff.
And sometimes don't they save it for you scrubs at the writer's dinner or something?
Sure. But even a lineup thing you would never even mention until spring training. Like, you know, the fact that they're doing it now... is like, that is a tell of all tells. You would never, not with an existing player, maybe a guy you just acquired, fine. This guy's been on the team for 5 years.
We've got Greg and Canton with the Bruins thought. Hi, Greg.
Hey, I hear all these people complaining about the draft and everything. I think Don Sweeney did a fine job. What drives me nuts about Don Sweeney is signing guys like Jamel Smith, Steven Camper, Jakob Nordstrom, whatever that guy is. Why waste your money on those guys when you could develop young players and do what Tampa Bay did? You think Victor Hedman was probably ready? Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. But they developed all these young defensemen, brought them up, and it drives me crazy that he does things like that. Not the draft. I think the draft has been fine. He's had a few blunders, but so does everybody else. But it's those slugs that he fills in.
So you don't like, for example, you don't like John Moore being up here versus Lozon getting that those minutes or something. I get
no.
it. And I'm sorry I cut you off. Well, I mean, that's what you said. You said you don't mind them drafting. They just why are they here? Why are they wasting their time with some of these other veterans? And I don't know. I go back and forth on that. If the kid can't play, what should we play Jacob Zboril just because you drafted him 13 overall? What if the kid can't play?
See, I think the Bruins have erred on this side. And I think what we're learning is they might not be able to play.
I mean, what if they can't play? And don't tell me that the forwards haven't gotten a crack. Every one of these young guys, Bjork, Heinen, Donato, Forsbacka, Carlson, they've all gotten chances with the top lines. They've all gotten chances in the top six. They've all gotten minutes. They've all gotten good opportunity, and they've all played their way right up. Okay, to this point, and maybe they found something with that Donato, JFK, and Heinen line. You know, I mean, to this point. But don't tell me those guys haven't gotten a fair chance. They've gotten a way fair chance.
Oh, no, they all have. And I don't know. I didn't even think of this at the time, but maybe that's why it should be so alarming that they picked up the kid from Dallas, Jamel Smith. Like, and I know he's a center, but you've got all these young forwards. You had to pick up a guy off waivers?
Horrible sign. But do I blame the team for not giving a kid a... What if Seneshin can't play? Are you saying, caller, just to play him? Because that's where you drafted him, and let's see up here at this level, and you play yourself out of the playoffs or something like that. I'm not looking to do that.
No. I think all in all, it feels to me like they've handled it the right way. Like, I don't have an issue with the fact that they drafted, they developed, they brought some of these guys up. The guys that haven't earned a place, they've left in Providence, unless there's been a desperate situation and you had to bring up a Zboril or someone like that. It doesn't feel to me like they've done that part of it wrong. I just question whether or not these guys have the talent to play.
Joey in Boston, hi.
Hi, how's it going? So I'm not exactly in favor of Mookie's lineup change, but, you know, if it's not broke, don't fix it. But having said that, why put him in the two hole and not the three hole? You know, if you're trying to maximize his RBI opportunity, slot maybe Xander in the two hole, Benny in leadoffs, and, you know, bat him back to back with JD.
Sure.
What do you guys think?
Thoughts about that? If it's about this RBI, why not even drop him lower?
Because there's this new trend in the game to hit your best guy second. Aaron Judge second, Mike Trout second. It's become the rage, right? It's like the thing to do now. Why wait till the third spot? We'll do it in the second spot. So to me, ideally, what you would do is have, you know, Benintendi first or second, and then Pedroia in the other spot, and then Betts, Martinez, Bogarts. That's what you do. But, you know, they're clearly going to move that up a spot and put Betts second, Martinez, and Bogarts probably fifth.
Here's the latest on Christmas in the City.
Cora won a World Series. Respect him and respect my badge.
Thank you, Carmine. Yes, we respect your badge. Christmas in the City, a 100% volunteer nonprofit organization that provides Christmas for kids who don't get it, kids who currently live in Boston's homeless shelters or foster homes or just on the street, and kids who have no idea what it's like to write to Santa a Christmas letter, ask for a gift, and then get it Christmas morning. Doesn't even know what it's like to have a Christmas tree. There are kids like that in Boston, thousands. And Christmas in the City throws them a big party every year. That's what they do. That's what they've done for 29 years. There's a great story in the Boston Globe today by Kevin Cullen, if you want to read it, that goes over it as well. And it can describe it better than I have. But I've been describing it now for a couple years and certainly the last couple weeks. So hopefully you know what I'm talking about. They need your help. They need money. They need toys. So go to ChristmasInTheCity.org, 985thesportshub.com, and donate. Or you can get involved with our daily auction. Okay, here's the daily auction update. I say daily. It's our online auction where we've got about a dozen really good pieces up there for bid. Every dime goes to Christmas in the City, and time's running out on this auction. So just let me update you where we're at. We have a four-packet of tickets to the Celtics versus the Pacers. That's Wednesday, January 9th. It's six rows behind the Celtics bench. Not as good as the seats Jimmy Stewart usually sits in, but pretty damn good. It also includes a $200 restaurant gift card to Tony C's. So four Celtics tickets near the floor plus a $200 gift card. The current bid right now is $2,400. Good bid, okay? I think we can do better. The golf outing with Tony Maz, you and two of your friends with Tony at the Atkinson Resort and Country Club in New Hampshire. Current bid?
$1,225
remains the current bid, okay? Get that up. There's an overnight stay at the Seaport that also includes a $200 rail stop restaurant and bar gift card. That current bid is $555. That's a steal.
That's way low.
Okay, because the room itself is probably that.
That's like under face, I feel.
Okay,
like.
That is way low.
That's definitely under face. The Seaport's a nice hotel. So get that one up. I mean, you'll be ahead of the game. The Larry Bird signed basketball. What's the latest?
$800.
$800. Let's get that up. There's a New England Revolution VIP game day package and team signed ball. I kept leaving that out. So I don't know exactly what's in that VIP package, but I bet Revolution, you get to own the place for a day.
Yep, and they, you know what? They treat you well down there, too. So it's a, that one's at $550, and it's a, you know, it's a good get, a good night out.
I'm sure you're on the field. I'm sure you're meeting people. I'm sure you get that team-signed ball. So that's a good package right there. There's a Troy Brown-signed football for $245. There's a Bruins team-signed stick for $950. Good job getting that number up. There's a four-pack of Bruins tickets to their December 27th game. Again, good seats. Plus, a $200 gift card to the smoke shop for some great barbecue. That's at $1,100. I want to say that's right around face. When you consider the $200 giftie and the tickets, you can do better than that. There's a signed framed color photo of Julian Edelman donated by the Globe, $300. Okay, you can do better than that. And last but not least, our Felger and Maz show sit-ins. Here's your last day to do this. This particular item will close tonight. The Felger and Maz show sit-ins close tonight because we want the dust to settle. We want to see who won the bids. We want to check you out.
Vetting, pat down, all that.
There will be a vetting process.
Cavity search.
That includes cavity searches. So you've got to be willing to just pay the price a little bit to come in for Felger and Maz.
And we're not talking about the cavities in your teeth.
So the bidding for the show sit-ins ends tonight. So we can check you out tomorrow and bring you in Friday. And again, the sit-in means you get to participate in the segment. We'll even let you lead the segment if you want. If you want to sit in the a-hole chair and bring us into break and out of break, and it's not a complete train wreck, you can do it.
Might have to hold your hand a little, but we'll get you through it.
Yeah, welcome back. Welcome back to Felger and Maz.
Welcome back. I'm going to spend the next 10 minutes just laughing at all three of these dopes for thinking the Sox weren't going to win the World Series. Ready? Here we go. Ha, 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 ha. Felger, you're wrong. Maz, you're wrong. Murray, you suck. Take your sunglasses off. Ha, ha, ha. What's the number?
Yeah, so welcome back to Felger and Maz. And it's hot outside. It's like 81 degrees. That's the weather.
So it's the show 3:14
p.m.
You could be the a-hole guy. You could be in the a-hole chair. You could sit in the B chair and be a co-host. You could ask us questions. We can ask you questions. It's your segment, okay? Between 5 and 10 minutes, depending on how annoying you are, all right? So that's the deal. We're giving away four of those, auctioning off four of them. The top four highest bids come in on Friday and do a segment. What are the current bids on those, man?
Right now, those are between $1,650 and $1,700, all four of them.
Going up.
Yep.
Okay.
And by the way, I have details on that Rebs package you were talking about earlier. Four Putnam Club tickets to an upcoming match, plus four pre-match field passes and the signed ball.
Okay, you knew it. You knew you'd get to down there on the field. So that's a good Revolution. If you're a soccer fan, that's a good package right there. Thanks to the Revolution for donating that. There is your auction update for Christmas in the City. Bid them up. Again, the show sit-ins end tonight, so get hopping on that. We'll keep all your Red Sox and Bruins calls on the board. We'll get back to you in 1 second, but we'll mix in a Celtics minute right after these words.
Yeah, we're going to go to break, and then we'll take more of your calls.
You're listening to Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
You know, I can't help but read these Kyrie quotes, and I wasn't there for these interviews, but he just can't stop talking about how he's won a championship and knows what it feels like to make a big shot in the finals. And look, he made one of the five biggest shots in the history of basketball. He can talk all he wants.
He did.
I just wonder, are the other Celtics players going to get tired of hearing about this? Every time I read a Kyrie interview, it feels like he's talking about what they did in Cleveland. And if I could see the wrong person on the Celtics, whoever that is, in their head being like, man, I don't want to read about this anymore. Like, we all know we got to game seven last year. Like, it's not like we did nothing.
All right, here's a Celtics minute for you. They're on our air tonight as they visit Detroit. Tip off, what, 7:30 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub? 7 or 7:30?
7 o'clock and it's the Wizards.
7 o'clock and it's the Wizards. Okay, how many things can I get wrong?
Close enough.
Celtics are on 98.5 The Sports Hub tonight. I got that one correct. So a little Celtics minute for you here. Jackie McMullen did a long breakout piece on ESPN.com on the Celtics and did a podcast there with Zach Lowe as a part of it. That comment by Zach Lowe stood out to you, Maz, and what else stood out in the story?
Okay, so she wrote mostly about Jaylen Brown and about how Jaylen Brown's really been one of the worst players in the league through the early part of the year. Maybe now he's starting to turn a corner. And there were quotes in there from Smart and from Irving. And Irving's the one that interests me. Because Smart feels like a guy who's got the personality to lead. Kyrie does not. And I just found Lowe's comment interesting there about Kyrie and this constant, you know, I've won a championship. And the other guys on the team, are they going to get sick? And my answer is, yep, they will. And you know what?
Tough.
Good.
Yeah.
If I'm Kyrie, keep doing it. Because they have no answer for it. That's the whole point. Make them sick of it. Make them sick of it. They've won nothing. None of them. Brown, Tatum, Horford, and none, the veterans or the young guys, none of them have any hardware. None. Including the coach. So shove it down their throats. Shove it. Shove it down their throats until they're so sick of it that they have no choice but to win a championship to shut you up. Then it's okay. Then you have to stop talking about it. But this is the whole point. If I'm Kyrie, hit them over the head with it. And some of the comments from Brown in the story about, you know, I this has been a really hard transition. I've had to accept it. I got to adjust the way I think. I sort of look at this, and this is where I get frustrated with the young guys in the Celtics. You didn't know this was coming? Like, you've had to adjust the way you think because you now are being asked to contribute less because the veteran players are back and there are other good players on the team. There's so much depth on the team that everybody's being asked to do a little bit less. But to do what you do at a higher level. Yes, that's the whole point. Like, this is where I don't get it. And this is where I look at young guys and get frustrated. And I get it. They're young. They're maturing. Okay, so I understand there's a process there. But I look at a guy like a Jaylen Brown and say, did you think you were going to get the same minutes when Gordon Hayward came back? And I look at Terry Rozier and say, did you think you were going to get more time when Kyrie Irving came back? And so there's an interesting quote by Danny Ainge in the story, and actually now I can't find it. But effectively the comment from Ainge was, you know, I played 16 years in the league, and there were only five, I think, where I was happy with my role. Huh. And the bottom line is that unless you're a truly elite player in the league, you have to settle for something less. And what I would say to the young guys in the Celtics, you're not truly elite players yet, and you may never be, with the possible exception of Jason Tatum. So you better learn to settle for something less for the sake of the greater good. And so to me, I don't know if Irving will ever be the leader to totally get them there. I think they're going to need Smart's personality on this team. But the young guys, man, if the light is going on finally, if light is dawning over Marblehead, then good. But it took them way too long to get here.
Okay, there's your Celtics thought. 617-779-0985. One line if you want to jump in on that. In the meantime, Red Sox and that lineup. What's up with that lineup request? Bob in Vermont, your thoughts?
Yeah, I kind of like the Mookie move, but I was thinking maybe it's a third. And
okay, so I'm just going to drop you. Mookie Betts to third, Maz?
Third in the lineup, I think he meant.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry,
I think he meant the third spot in the lineup. Yeah, because I had the initial reaction you did, and then I think he meant the number three spot in the batting order. To me, that's where Mookie should be. If you have two good guys at the top of the lineup,
okay,
Mookie should be third.
What if Pedroia can't go?
Okay, so, you know, to me, then you hit him second.
I mean, you said before, it's Benintendi, Pedroia in some order, and then Betts, ideally.
Right.
But what if Pedroia, you just said, Pedroia's never going to be right.
So no.
So he's not a factor.
Yeah, I mean, ideally you want two guys at the top of the lineup, ideally. But if you don't have that, then you do what a lot of teams do now and you hit them second. It's fine. You know, it used to be that your on-base guy was a small, fast guy who got on base a lot, and the number two hitter was a back control guy. Who plays that way anymore?
Yeah, no, I know that. And, you know, and I'm with you. The lineups are a little overrated, but again, the piece that interests me is where is it coming from?
Mookie.
Where is it coming from? And I think it's, you know, it's, you can draw some lines there, connect some dots and say that it is Betts because his RBI total was down because he hits in the leadoff spot. The clock is now ticking towards the end of his contract. He's at the winter meetings where his agent is there and these things are starting to be talked about. It's really more sort of on the table about players' value and arbitration's coming up. He's going to be going into an arbitration hearing with 33 homers and 80 RBI, which doesn't, the arbiter says, well, that's sort of weird. His RBI doesn't really, I'm inclined to give him a record award, but his RBI is a little low.
Yeah, and those arbitration hearings are almost all based on numbers.
Right, and so do Betts and his agent get together and say, this is hurting me. This is costing me some cake. And so the player and the agent go to the team and say he needs more RBI, and so they drop him in the lineup, and they announce it at the exact spot where the players and the agents are milling around, and it's all, you know, I mean, that just has the whiff of that. And so that ain't the end of the world either, but it is a player dictating something for himself instead of the team, and that's just what might be happening. That's
right,
all.
Which irritates, you know,
which
people.
Which is irritating.
Yeah, because, again, it suggests a level of selfishness. And, you know, now look, in baseball, it's inherent. It's hard to build a team without selfish guys, for crying out loud. The question is, at some point, does it mesh well enough where they're willing to give up something? And on this team this past year, we saw it. They did. Okay, they were willing to sacrifice for one another to win. And ultimately, they had one of the great regular seasons in baseball history, for crying out loud. But look, it's either that or what you're talking about, which is it's nerd-driven. Right, it's entirely possible there's someone in the organization that says we're going to do this because the metrics say Mookie will be even better in the number two spot. I have to believe that Mookie Betts is somehow involved in this because it feels like to me, he has been resistant to this in the past. He's wanted to be in that leadoff spot. So why does he want out now?
Jordan in Fall River on the Celtics. Hi, Jordan.
Hey, how you doing, Felga? I just wish you guys would spend a little more time on the Celtics instead of just giving me a minute, man. And I got to listen to the Patriots over and over. I know they suck. I love the Patriots. I know the defense.
Jordan, I let you on the air, so come on. Give me some Celtics thoughts.
Well, back to what Maz was saying. I was watching Jason Tatum actually talk to Kyrie Irving, and Kyrie Irving looked at him, and Jason Tatum just completely ignored him. So I don't think they are looking at Kyrie like the leader at all.
I know go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I know the moment he's talking about. It was a cutaway on the bench, and Kyrie was trying to explain something to Tatum. Tatum's just sort of looking ahead like, yeah, whatever. And so now I don't know whether you make anything of that or not. Who knows what the hell they were talking about? Who knows what was going through his mind? I don't know. I'm just telling you that I read some of the comments from Kyrie, and he says, like, he's talking about Jaylen Brown, and he says, you know, I don't think Jaylen has ever been challenged in this way. You know, and he talks about how he is challenging him. And I'm thinking, Kyrie didn't want anything to do with being the bad guy as recently as a month ago. What do you mean you're the one challenging him? It feels to me like the only one on that team who is speaking up is Marcus Smart. So maybe Kyrie recognized the void, saw Marcus Smart fill it, and said, you know, I'm not really cut out for this. And then he goes on to talk about he had a guy in LeBron who set a standard, et cetera. And so now maybe he's realizing he's going to be more of a dink and be like LeBron.
He sounds like LeBron more and more by the day. And I mean, maybe that's a good thing. I mean, I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing because the team does need some leadership. I mean, it's obviously there's an intangible, or there was early in the season, missing from that team. The one thing with Kyrie is, I mean, to lead, people have got to want to follow you. And I know when I listen to Kyrie talk, you know, to you know, invoke a previous emailer, I want to put my head in the incinerator. Like, I really have a hard time. The more the guy talks, the less I want to listen to him.
Objectively and subjectively.
I mean.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That one was great.
So it's like, you know, does Jason Tatum or someone else hear the blah, blah, blah? Like, all right, dude, please. Give it a rest already with your nonsense. Or, I don't know, does he connect on a level with those NBA players? I don't know. But that'd just be the one thing. I mean, like, I wouldn't want to listen to LeBron either. But the more I hear Kyrie, it's like, oh my goodness, put a sock in it. Literally,
put a sock in your mouth.
Like one of the comments in this story, I have such high expectations for a guy like Jalen, knowing how smart he is off the court, knowing his intellect, how he likes to be challenged. Oh, would you shut up already? He's like this pseudo-intellectual.
That's brutal.
Oh, it is. It is. It's so hard to take.
Continue with your thoughts on the Red Sox, this Celtics minute. Also, something was dropped into a story about ESPN rehiring a broadcaster this week that really gave me hope. Really gave me some hope. I'll hit on that right after Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We have a good club and you keep them together. You can always get better. I mean, I can't tell you that. But we're not looking to move anybody. We're not driven to move anybody. But I think, again, you always keep open minds to anything that takes place. You know, I mean, that's... And people come to you with different thought processes. That's what the meetings bring about. That's why I, in some ways, always enjoy the meetings.
Yeah, my read on Dombrowski is that the window is open, man. Windows are open. We'll see what they come up with. Here's my note that gave me hope that I mentioned before. It was on a story for Jess Mendoza, who has been re-upped at ESPN. Who I'm more than fine with, and the more I hear people cry about Jess Mendoza, the more I like her. Because I love you people.
That's where I'm at, too.
It's like...
She's just okay, but if it makes people that irrationally mad, good. I'm glad they signed her to a long-term deal.
She's fine!
I'd feel the same way. She doesn't bother me.
She's not that bad. She's fine. I mean, you sit and listen to Heinsohn for 82 games, but you can't handle five with Jess Mendoza? Good God, you people. That's ridiculous. Let me tell you something. Your broadcasters aren't that great here in town. They're not. I like some of them. Some of them are pretty lousy. I love Tommy to death, but I'm just saying. You put up with that, but you can't handle Jess Mendoza for a couple nights?
Well, let's be honest. I mean, at the heart of it for a lot of people is, what's a woman doing in the booth?
Yeah, so you do that on your own time. She's fine. Fine with me. No problem. No problem with Jess Mendoza. But in the middle of the story about Jess Mendoza is that ESPN's moving up their Sunday night games to 7 o'clock. Did you read this?
They buried the lead.
They're moving them up to 7 o'clock? From 8?
Murray's right. They buried the lead. Oh, by the way, we signed Jess Mendoza for 5 years.
But of course that's the lead.
Of course it is. Right.
Except for the Red Sox games remain at 8?
Just one. There's one outlier on September 4th or 11th or something like that.
Any other time the Red Sox are on, it's still at 7?
Correct.
Okay. How can you not read this as anything other than a harbinger or a precursor to the league finally recognizing what's going on with these games?
It's a good sign.
And I know exactly what happens. I know exactly what... my guess is that they got Scott Van Pelt there for their premier sports center at 11 o'clock on Sundays. And every week, Scott and the rest of them are sitting there at 11 o'clock ready to go and the game's in the sixth inning. And they're saying, how can we promote our 11 o'clock, our premier flagship, you know, night with our highest paid anchor and the big Sunday night broadcast? And we're all sitting here waiting for the relief pitcher on the Arizona Diamondbacks to scratch his nuts and throw the ball. Start it earlier. And, you know, again, this is why the networks don't run as many playoff games as they used to, because poor Maria Stefanos is sitting there at 11 o'clock and is like, you can't program your channel when the games don't end. It's really hard to be a programmer when the thing that comes on at 8 won't end. So this is a nod to it. This is a nod to it. We're going to start it at 7. And hopefully it's the first domino to fall and that this carries over to the postseason stuff and everything else. Just dial it back. If they're going to go 3-4 hours, you're still going to be in that 10 to 11 window, except it'll be the end of the game and not the sixth inning. So let's just try that.
Well, my hope is that that's where they're going, that ultimately it's about the postseason and moving the postseason up earlier, because those games are just ridiculous. They take longer commercial breaks between innings. Pitchers obsess over every pitch, like all of it. that they need it there more than anywhere. At least it's a step in the right direction. I thought when Murray said it was September, I just looked quickly to see if it was Labor Day weekend because I thought, what a cop out. Like, you know, Labor Day weekend, they do it and they say, well, you know, people are going to be home on Monday anyway, so we'll start that one at 8 o'clock or something of the like. But it's not Labor Day weekend. It's the weekend after.
Whatever. They're going to 7. So baby step. I'm all for baby. I'm a pragmatist. I'm a pragmatist. So if it takes just a little baby step to get your, you know, give me that pitch clock. I don't care if they put 40 seconds on the thing and it's really not a factor. Put the clock on the field. It starts there. And then you start ticking the numbers back as we go forward. And 7-8, they haven't said they'll do it in the playoffs. And it's still, the games are way too long, but there's your start. Let's start the process of dialing these things back. So anyway, that was my little glimmer of hope. Back to your phones, as promised. Alan in Florida, quickly, please.
Okay, Maz, let me ask you a question. Just say, I'm not confident that Pedroia's, you know, going to be old Pedroia.
Right.
Just say he is. You still think they'll bet Mookie second?
I do.
Well, I don't think there's a chance in the world. Then I would agree with your premise. But if Pedroia ever comes back to be Pedroia, he should be in the number three spot with Benintendi betting number one. Now, if he doesn't, then you can say Mookie had something to do with it. I don't think he had a thing to do with it. He's going to get paid just what Bryce Harper and Machado are going to get paid. I don't think he's sitting there worried about how much money he's going to make many RBIs.
Alan, so he's the one guy that doesn't care about his money?
It's not that he doesn't care. He's going to make $400 million. How much more does he want?
So, Alan, you're missing the point, though. You're missing the point. And that is, no. When he hits the market, he'll get paid. But in the next 2 years, and it's already, you know who's going to decide his salary? A judge.
Yeah.
An arbiter who knows nothing about baseball and who's going to base it on the numbers.
Well, believe me, he was the MVP, a World Series team. I think he's going to get whatever they want. I think he'll win an arbitration, and I think the Red Sox know it.
So why is the team doing it?
They won't even go there.
Why is the team doing it?
Why are they doing it?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? No, you're not.
It's hard to figure, right? They just had the best season they've ever had. They scored 1 million runs and won a championship. So let's change the lineup?
To keep them happy.
Why is the team doing it?
To keep Mookie happy, because they want to sign him to a long-term deal.
I'm sorry to cut you off, but, you know.
That's my only guess.
There's no answer.
So a year from now, think about it. Mookie Betts is going to be going in arbitration again with a salary of, call it, $20 million. I mean, if he has big RBI numbers on top of it, he's going to have a record arbitration settlement. So we better take the preemptive strike now, Mookie, because you got to get your RBI up for the hearing entering 2020.
But Alan's right. When he's an unrestricted free agent, it's just determined by the market and GMs. They understand the 80 RBIs
because
he gets in the lineup. But, you know, some judge, some arbiter, you're right.
No. I mean, he has no clue. He's going to go purely by the data.
Long commercial-free segment is next. Paul at 4 o'clock. Paul Perillo, sunshine.com. More of your calls right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
All right, back to your phones. Here's Mike in Queens. I think he's going to burst my bubble on that ESPN start time thing. Go ahead, Mike.
So, on the Sunday night baseball start time, they didn't move the time because of the fans or because of the Scott Van Pelt Sports Center. The article I read said they moved it because of the players and their sleep habits. The Major League Baseball Players Association were moaning and groaning about their sleep habits, and all these teams do sleep studies, and that they weren't getting enough sleep. That's why they moved the game up an hour, not because of the fans.
Mike, you're probably right. Here's me thinking that it helps the programmers, helps the networks, help the fans. You know, I was thinking of us. I didn't realize the players were just thinking of themselves. You remember who was it? Adrian Gonzalez?
Yep, go ahead.
No, you go.
No. Adrian Gonzalez bitched about having to play the Sunday night games. He did. He bitched about it because, you know, he'd rather be in a godforsaken place like San Diego where the team sucks every year and you get done at 4 o'clock on a Sunday.
And if you have to travel, you get to sleep at a right hour or you get the rest of your day off or whatever. It's the players who don't like going that late.
Guy was a loser.
Well, then here's an idea, guys. Move it! Pick it up! Stay in the box, throw the effing ball. You want to get out of there? Pick up the pace. It's all up to you. The whole reason we're there all night is because of you. God! No, so start it earlier so we can still scratch our balls all night for 4 hours and get out at a reasonable hour, but we're not going to not scratch it. We're going to keep doing what we do, and the rest of you can screw. God! Silly me for thinking it might have been actually for something to help the game and the people. I forgot I was dealing with major league players. That's right. I forgot. I'm sorry.
They really are like the most self-centered people in the world, baseball players.
Oh,
they are.
God. Peter and JP on the cell. Go ahead, Peter.
Hey, they're not stupid. Terry Rozier and Jaylen Brown knew they were going to lose minutes. Tony, you said it. Everyone in the studio knows it. I know it. They know it. They're not dumb, okay? If they don't want to lose minutes, then that's how I want them to be. I want them to play every game. And Marcus Smart is the leader of the team. There's no doubt about it. I don't know if you watched the other game the other night, but he was screaming at Jaylen Brown for missing an assignment.
No, 100%. And I'm all in on Marcus Smart in the starting lineup. I'm all in on Marcus Smart being on the floor. I bought in on that, you know, last year at the latest. I mean, I've been clued into that for a while. Marcus Smart's an important guy for you. Important guy. And it does start with him. I agree with that.
They need him in that locker room.
No doubt.
I mean, the only other guy that I feel comfortable about in terms of his, like, you know, ability at a stressful Morris.
Oh, yeah, him too. Yeah, him
yeah,
too.
Like, you know, because Horford to me feels like he downplays everything, which is good in the long haul. But sometimes you need someone to blow a gasket. Smart your guy.
Jake in the car on the Sox. Hi, Jake.
Hey, guys. So quick comment about Benintendi. I actually think the Red Sox are doing it to put Benintendi in a position where he might be batting better because in the 20 games where he was in leadoff when Betts was out, his OPS was 980 and he was raking in the spring. So I think there's a good chance that they're saying Betts is a top three player in the league. It doesn't matter where we put him. We want to maximize Benintendi.
Okay, maybe. But the story I read was from a perspective of Mookie Betts that the chief nerd, the lead nerd officer, said that we could get more out of Mookie Betts in the second hole. So they didn't talk about Benintendi, they talked about Betts.
So here would be, if it's about Benintendi, let's just play along. Why would you risk irritating Mookie Betts when you already can't negotiate with the guy?
Or coming off of that kind of season, why do you mess with him?
Exactly. And I'm even taking a bigger picture approach to it. Like, you know, you've had difficulty with him at the negotiating table. Now he has the best year of his career. Mookie, we're going to screw with you. We're going to move you into the two-hole because we want to make Benintendi a better player? No way. This is about Mookie.
Okay,
it's
Dave,
about Mookie.
Dave and Lynn, hi.
Yeah, about Martinez, using him in the outfield. Big, big mistake. You have the most productive hitter in baseball. Granted, at the DH, he's the most productive hitter in baseball. And you sacrifice for that, for mediocre play in left field, a position you could get from anybody in Pawtucket right now. So the long end of it is, worst case causes you have an injury that he goes up against the wall, comes down, and instead of thinking he's Martinez, thinks he's J.D. Drew. Okay, that's it on me.
Okay, I understand. J.D. loves playing in the outfield. There's some numbers that say he hits better when he's in the outfield, but I don't need him out there every night. We had a caller on the board earlier. His comment line said something about it. I think he dropped, but I want to pick up on it. If they trade Jackie Bradley, you know who I want their other outfielder to be? Ruzny Castillo. Can we take a look at this kid? You took that chance on him out of Cuba. You paid him $1 billion, okay? And then you forgot about him, and I don't blame you because he wasn't ready. He didn't feel like he could play. But out of nowhere here, the last couple of years, he's starting to hit. He hit 320 last year in Pawtucket, 319. He hit 319 playing every day. I think he led the International League in hitting, or he was. He was leading the IL for much of the year. Did they call it the IL?
Yeah.
So, you know, so either way, it's like you once saw something in the guy. Now he's figured out how to play here in North America without his, training regimen in Cuba. And now maybe you got something. It took him a while, but I would like to see what Ruzny Castillo looks like as a major leaguer. and just to see, you know, give me a month sample or something. Because he hit. He's hit the last couple of years. He hit 314 the year before. He hit 314 in 2017 and 319 last year. Those are big samples. He got 511 plate appearances last year and like 370 last year or the year before. So he's hit now consistently at the AAA level. The only reason you haven't brought him up even for a sniff is because you're up against a luxury tax, and even activating him for just one game puts his $11 million on your tax.
Which is why I bet you they still don't do it.
So that's annoying. That's aggravating to me. I want to see the kid. Let's just see. That's who I want, is Ruzny Castillo. And if he can't play, he can't play. I'm not telling you, like, hit your wagon to him all year. Here's a leftover Bruins thought. Our most annoying caller, though, has a good idea, I think. Scott and Weymouth, go.
Yes, thank you for the introduction. All right, here we go. After last night, it's all about balance at this point, okay? No, Krejci is not as good as Bergeron, but that line looks smooth. They look like they've been playing together for 3 years, okay? So I say this. I want your opinion, Felga. When Bergeron comes back, keep Krejci on that first line. Bergeron centers the second line between Donato and Heinen. I think Donato is on the rise. There's a reason they're keeping him around. I think he's going to have to play. You put him on a line with Bergeron and Danton Heinen, now you have two pretty strong lines.
Okay, I don't know where Heinen comes in. I'm keeping DeBrusque on the second line. But otherwise, Maz mentioned this earlier. Absolutely.
I mean, I'd give it a shot. Bergeron's the type of guy that elevates other players. He's just that good at both ends of the ice. And he can bring along guys and nurture them because, again, he's so good on both ends of the ice that you can put up with the inconsistencies.
It's worth a shot.
Yeah, absolutely it is.
If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But maybe you backdoored a little shot at some secondary scoring here. Krejci wasn't enough. For whatever reason, at this stage of his career, he's not enough to elevate those guys on the second line. And you can't get anything out of that second line right now with David Krejci. But in the last week, Krejci has started to figure it out with Marchand and Pastrnak. It's been a thing of beauty, actually, the last couple of games. Last night was gorgeous.
I think he's had 7 points in his last four games.
So they've really started to play really well together, and they figured out like their spacing and Krejci's tempo and all this stuff. I mean, it's been nice. It's been fun to watch. And if you could get the offensive production with Krejci with those two and put Bergeron with the second line and see if he can do what Krejci couldn't, and that's really elevate DeBrusque and then someone else, maybe you're onto something there. I mean, I would definitely try that.
No question. Because to me, the Pastrnak and Marchand clearly lift up Krejci, right? So Bergeron doesn't need to be lifted up if he's healthy. He'll lift up other guys. You're a better team probably if you do it the other way around.
Okay, we gave you 2 hours there. Red Sox, Celtics, Bruins. But we have Paul Perillo now standing by from Patriots Football Weekly. So it's time to talk some football.
And donuts.
You're all lined up. It's not nice. You're all lined up to talk Red Sox and Celtics. Can I get you to call back in an hour? Because I'm probably not going to take you. All right, so just Jimmy in Maine, Matt in Malden, Raji in Chicago, Brett in Connecticut. Call us back at 5. Okay, we're going to do football this hour. We're also going to give away Grateful Dead tickets. Well, they actually don't need they actually retired the name. It's Dead and Company. Sorry. They don't use Grateful Dead anymore. They only use it for those Fare Thee Well shows in Chicago and Palo Alto.
Wave that flag, Felga. Wave it wide and high. Come on, kid.
Yeah, Murray, I want you to tell me more about the balloons.
Dead and Company tickets at $450. We'll give you an auction update for Christmas in the City, but Paul Perillo, sunshine.com, comes your way next. Who's singing this week, Murray?
Well, it's funny that Maz just mentioned balloons, because as the year comes to a close here on Felger and Maz, I thought I'd bring back a certain sports agent who I mucked mercilessly over the summer.
Who, Miss?
Happy Chandler.
Happy Walters.
Whatever.
Yeah, Happy Walters, one last time to sing Sunshine
and
Day.
Again, this is Marcus Smart's agent, who turned down all sorts of money, and you just can't take it seriously because his name is
Happy Walters.
Like, for example, what does he sound like just before you?
I put Danny Ainge over a barrel and got my client, Marcus Smart, $52 million for 4 years.
Happy Walters sings Sunshine Day right after Murray's update. No commercials.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.